Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
It's up.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Talk of Champions. I'm Billy Umbody. With me is Ben Garrett. Ben, how was the weekend, buddy?
It was a weekend. It was a wild one. First and foremost, the little house that you can barely see up top. I'm in a new chair, so I'm a little lower than I'm used to doing, so I got to reassemble things here in the Riverland Roofing Studios. They're our friends and really power everything we do here at Talk of Champions. And you need to support them. Rebels helping Rebels, man. Riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. It was a weekend. Ole Miss baseball played three ranked opponents in Arlington, Texas, and beat two of them. The loss was a run rule. There's some thoughts on all of that because, honestly, it felt like two seasons worth of what we've seen from Ole Miss baseball kind of piled in or crammed into 3 days. Basketball. And then Billy, our friend.
Nice little Sunday.
Yeah, nice little Sunday, right?
Yeah, 32 degrees for Under Armour Dallas recruiting camp. So what a time.
I mean, if you're going to go to a recruiting camp, it's not going to be hot unless it's in the summer. Like these days, it has to be some type of wild swing of a weather situation for it to track with recruiting. You never go up there and go, man, what a pleasant day to talk to, you know, a bunch of 20, 26, and 27 kids. Usually there's like been some crazy winter event or something. So I'm just, hey, look, you went and got to talk to some players.
Yep.
You know, fill out the Ole Miss landscape a little bit on the recruiting trail. And Ole Miss baseball didn't backdoor two bad losses, ugly losses, to make everyone think that nothing has changed. And basketball. So, anyway, yeah, it's a good little weekend for me. You have a good weekend outside of just talking to Ole Miss high school recruits and baseball. You went to baseball on Friday. You were in Arlington.
I was. I was really worried in that ninth inning when it was a little shaky that I was going to lose my Ole Miss baseball debut. But they stepped up and got it done. So, that was a blast. It was a lot of fun. Got to meet coach and some of the players and
nice
some new people as well. It was nice.
Yeah, I loved when Ole Miss played in the Shriners College Showdown, Children's College Showdown back in 2021. That team beat three ranked teams, came out of that ranked number one in the country. It was short lived. Ole Miss has not been back in terms of like that kind of national relevance since really after the 2022, of course, title run, won 10 of 11 postseason games. So like for me, the emotional aspect of the Friday win with Hunter Elliott returning and hope springing eternal, hanging on for a 2-1 win. It had all these different factors to it that certainly provided Ole Miss fans, I'm sure, with hopium. That Saturday loss where they got run ruled felt so much like second games of the last 2 years, to where they would tease Ole Miss competitiveness only to turn around and completely lay an egg and the bottom fall out. So Clemson, even though it was just the third game, Clemson had, you know, whipped up on Arizona, number 15 team in the country. For Ole Miss to come out, and offense was at a premium for them for the first 2 days, to come out trying some new things. Hayden Federico, who they've loved, you know, since he got here, had a great – well, not a great fall, but had a good fall, but has had a great preseason. Got an opportunity on Sunday, was a catalyst for them at the top of the lineup. Luke Hill is their best player right now. Again, what a success story. Luke started out so poorly at Ole Miss. I mean, he got here and all those social media screenshots where he was clowning Ole Miss appeared online, and he had some answering to do with not just fans in the community, but his teammates and his coaches as well. And now Luke Hill is slugging 2 home runs in Arlington at Globe Life and against a top 15 team, hitting in the most premium position in the order, and that's the 2-hole. That's a discussion for another day. It's not the 3 or the 4, it's the 2. And Luke Hill is batting there. And to bounce back like they did, to get a good pitching performance out of Will McLaughlin, a transfer from St. Joe's, because they didn't really have like that pitcher headliner, right, that they got with the sluggers like Isaac Humphrey from Louisville and Mitch Sanford from UNO. Ryan Mormon had a great opening weekend from Illinois. They didn't have that kind of headliner on the pitching side, and Will McLaughlin looked incredible as long reliever, replacing Mason Nichols. Quick hook for both Joel Mangrum and Mike Bianco with Mason, a veteran, ran into some trouble, didn't hesitate, went and got the extended long reliever, doubled him up on Mason Nichols, and that offense came alive. So, yeah, it was a roller coaster of a weekend. You know, the road to Omaha is typically a roller coaster, but with Ole Miss the last couple of years, to come from the high of Friday to the absolute non-competitiveness of Saturday, I was curious how this group would respond, really, because like the last 2 years, they haven't responded well. And that group responded by run ruling number 15, Clemson. So baseball is every game is unique unto itself. Momentum is the next day's starting pitcher, on and on and on and on and on. But for the big opening weekend narrative, I think it was important for Ole Miss to bounce back, and good on them for doing so, and doing so in such convincing fashion, including our guy, our podcast partner, Judd Udemark, slugging a monster shot, Billy, into left field on Sunday, like 450 feet. And I can't wait to talk to him this week. He's coming back on the podcast. We're having a Judd U this week. And I just want to hear about the tank, man. I mean, he's been waiting for that. A guy who's been banged up the last couple of years, a lot of a Tim Elko track to Judd Udemark. And for him to get that bomb shows you what he's capable of. I mean, that was an absolute monster shot to go along with a great offensive day for Ole Miss. So it was a good weekend, man. It really was. I'm curious, though. I thought the Under Armour All-American game was in Orlando. What was it to be?
Yeah, so this is now because, of course, Ben, why bother having the camps in the summer when maybe the guys are, you know, maybe tip-top shape, getting ready for their seasons and – you know, no one else has anything going on. No, got to make football and football recruiting year round. So the first one was last weekend in Atlanta, and now they made the trek over to Dallas for this past weekend's regional camp. And so they're making all these stops to pick out which players are going to end up being in the 2026 Under Armour All-American Bowl. So they dished out some invites. They gave some MVPs. I tell you what, I miss, and maybe it was my younger self thinking these camps were longer than they were back then. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they got us in there at 8:15 media check-in open. Some kids were already checked in. They get them tested. So it's a big kind of cattle call for those of you who've never been. And they run them through 40s, shuttles, vertical jumps, and all of that is proprietary information that they sell to colleges that want it. And they pay for the very specific, very clear-cut video of drills and one-on-ones and all of these things. And that way colleges get to see these guys work out a little bit more in the course of an offseason, and they get actual verified measurements and data on them to then help them make decisions. You know, a guy that Ole Miss maybe hasn't gotten on campus or lives across the country and they've been talking and they saw him in the spring and they saw him this past month and they like him, but maybe they don't know if he's a legit 6'5" or if he has 34-inch arms, if he's an offensive lineman or something like that. Well, then they get these camps and that kind of verifies it if they go to these camps over the course of the next 2 months that they'll hold them across the country. And so it's an interesting data point when you get them in regional, because you'll see some guys there that, you know, probably are going to be D3 college football players, mm-hmm. if they choose to play college football. And then you got Felix Ojo, the five-star offensive tackle that Ole Miss is among his top eight, I believe it is. And they're pushing for a visit, which we'll talk about later. But it's just one of those things where, you know, it's a cattle call. But do you have anything else on Ole Miss baseball before we turn the page to basketball?
I wanted to bring up the recruiting angle because I was feeling wistful this morning. Okay, it's President's Day. The kids are at home, right? They're out from school. And when we were planning to do this live show, our second live show, sponsored by Riverland Roofing, Status Jet, My Perfect Franchise, one of the things we talked about was we got to talk about recruiting, the recruiting corner with Billy. We're going to incorporate that as much as we possibly can. And you're talking about the Under Armour All-American game. And all I remember back when I covered recruiting on a day-to-day basis in the alts was that was a game in December that you went to for like 3 days, knocked out as many players as you could. There was no such thing as a media, a media call or anything like that. There was no organization to it. It was a free for all. And
none of them were signed.
None of them were signed.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. It used to be an event, right? It used to be like an event to where if you didn't talk to CC Jefferson here, you might not get him because signing day is quickly coming. I think, it's unfortunate, man, because like, college athletics continues to, in a lot of ways, screw up what people love about it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the anticipation of that day, it was a very unique day to college sports, was signing day.
Yeah.
And yes, it was football signing day. No one really cared as much about basketball signing day, but football signing day was an event.
Yeah.
And
parties just bash, like all those things. Yeah.
It was truly an event where everybody in the college, in this stupid, silly sport, stopped and celebrated something dumb. Like I'll never forget being in the room when AJ Brown, who just won a Super Bowl with the Eagles, and I knew he was announcing for Ole Miss, but I had the camera ready in the quarterback club at the inn at Ole Miss. And the minute that kid said Ole Miss, like the whole place just went, you know, and exploded. And that energy somewhat lost, you know, that connective tissue is somewhat lost in 2025. And because it's all been corporatized, right? It is year round. It's like, well, yeah, that was good. Now let's make it year round. And how can we make as much money off of it as possible?
4th of July commitments. You know.
Carlton Martin commits to Ole Miss on Christmas Day. Merry Christmas from Carlton Martin. Quite literally the headline on the Ole Miss Spirit that day. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a different time, man. And like, I wish we would recover some of that, you know, like the expansion of the NCAA tournament. As we talk a little bit about basketball, so you can get into your recruiting. This is absurd.
Yes.
If you look,
I mean, 68 is it now, right now?
68. The 68.
I mean,
4+4. What are we doing? If you look at the projected field right now, it is the greatest anti-expansion argument you can make.
I mean, all the teams that would have arguments to then be in an expanded tournament, they. In high majors, they're all below 500 in league play, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
what are we doing? Like, there has to be some exclusivity to it, or at least some guardrails. Just like there has to be guardrails with this transfer stuff that'll never come because the government is pointless. You know, like there's not going to do anything to fix this that allows Ole Miss and the rest of college football to like. Set up a calendar, go, all right, here's the start of OTAs. OTAs are beginning. The Cowboys have started practicing. The Ole Miss Rebels have started practicing. Alabama starts in a couple of days. You know, it's just, are y'all going to have a spring game? Ole Miss hasn't announced one. Like, we lost the spring. We've lost the plot. You're adding teams and devaluing the product.
Yep.
The NCAA tournament is just the latest thing. Like I want all the players to get paid as much as they possibly can because this is capitalism.
Yeah,
we believe in capitalism. Okay, make your money, but they need to sign contracts and be held to account when they break contracts, just like anybody should. Just like that should have been a part of the language for coaches forever. Like if Lane Kiffin were to leave Ole Miss today, there should be a penalty for that because he made a commitment and they're playing everything around him. So a multi-million-dollar charge—that's a buyout.
Yep.
100%. You know, you see Ben Simmons get bought out with the Brooklyn Nets, right? Now he's a part of the Clippers. Those are all newsworthy things, but you have to acknowledge that this is a business. And I do miss the unique college stuff that we used to build our calendar around, including the Under Armour All-American game. The NCAA tournament is the last of the postseasons that still kind of – well, I like the expanded college football playoff. I think it's going to grow and get better unless they go ahead and expand it to 16.
Yeah.
You know?
I like it. I'm a big fan of it. I thought it was – the only thing is it's tough for is just travel and fan expenses. But other – like the product, it's great. It's awesome. Fair.
Yeah.
But if you have the means to go to all four, in theory, all four, I mean, more power to you, but it's still a drain, I'm sure, for most. Yeah. Even if you got money, it's a drain.
That's why it's so silly.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's like, well, they're not the NFL. No, they're not the NFL. I'm just telling you to celebrate college athletics. Celebrate what makes you great.
Yep.
Embrace that the NCAA tournament, only 68 teams. Oh, honestly, I liked it when it was at 64. Yeah, I don't like the play-in games. And Ole Miss played in a play-in game in 2015. It was awesome. I drove up there. It was Dayton, Ohio. I'd never been there before. Home of those Dayton Flyers, iconic basketball program. Yep. And Stephen Moody in that group fell behind, battled back. We were all writing stories about what a disastrous experience this was. It was me. It was Neil McCready. It was Hugh Kellenberger. I mean, there's guys that aren't on this beat anymore. And they were getting their butt kicked, and then Stephen Moody and them came back. They rallied back, and they ended up going to Jacksonville on a play-in game. So we're driving through the night from Dayton, Ohio to Nashville, Tennessee to hop on a flight at 5 in the morning to fly to Jacksonville because Andy Kennedy's got a media thing. I'm not saying, that's part of the story. That's telling the story of Ole Miss, which is great. And it is a unique thing that we've kind of lost because now it'd be like that game would have been a first-round tournament game, you know? And it loses its luster a little bit. And then celebrate what makes you great.
Yep.
The NCAA tournament is the perfect postseason tournament.
Yes.
Making it better is not making it bigger. Making it better is just doing what it does well, even better. Limit your commercial times. Broadcast it to everyone. Create an app with all the NCAA tournament games. I don't know. Just don't add more teams. Just like at the end of the year, we should be playing home and homes. You know, just like the NFL.
Yeah.
Steelers host the Ravens because they're the top seed, and then they go play in the Super Bowl somewhere. And all college football teams should play at the Rose Bowl at the end of the year.
Yep. Totally.
That's all I'm getting at.
All right.
And leave signing day. Get us a signing day back, Bill. Like, legit.
I just want one.
Put it in December. It doesn't matter.
Look, we might have to bully our way into that. And one thing that did happen on Saturday, let's talk. I want to get your thoughts on this because I thought Chris Beard's press conference after the game where he said he wasn't surprised at all.
Awesome.
About how that game went. I just think that's the type of realness that I would want to see from any coach that's leading a program. And even after a disappointing game like that, I mean, that's how you're going to continue to build the level of accountability that's needed to then ascend to maybe surpass what State's doing. Chris Jans is a great coach, but Chris Beard is still in the early days of this.
He's got a Chris Jans problem. Chris Jans got his number right now. I mean, I think that's 3-1, but it's not a Chris Beard thing. I mean, Chris Beard's awesome. I really appreciate it at the end of the game. Sending all five starters to the postgame podium. That's the culture that he's talking about. Accountability, own it. That game was non-competitive. Now, it started competitive. Ole Miss was playing pretty well, and then it was non-competitive. On your home floor against your in-state rival, the environment was kind of dead. And it's been funny to watch, like, the social media reaction from the other side of things. They really think, a certain segment of Mississippi State fans, it's still all about Ole Miss, Mississippi State and who's winning the rival, who's taking. And yes, it's lopsided pretty much on baseball and basketball side, but football, Ole Miss has dominated that lately. Ole Miss doesn't think about Mississippi State that way. You got the dude doing a video from the bleachers going, "Oh, see you later, crappy fan base." Like, guys, Ole Miss doesn't think about you at all. You're small potatoes now. Basketball. That doesn't have the same, like Andy Kennedy used to talk about, it doesn't have the same landing impact as the football Egg Bowl rivalry. Yes, there's a rivalry component to it. But Chris didn't send those dudes to the postgame podium afterwards, all five of the stars at the postgame podium afterwards, because Ole Miss lost to State. That played to it a little bit because Obviously, they're still the in-state rival, and a lot of older Ole Miss fans that used to what they would build their entire calendar around, the Mississippi State games particularly. There's still that draw to it. But he sent them up there because what you've seen from them the last three games is not the same Ole Miss team that you saw that went to Alabama and played them to the bone and just competitiveness, dog mentality to them, grinding. Like, it contextualized that non-competitive state game, contextualized why Ole Miss struggled to battle back and had to come back against South Carolina and LSU, right? Like, maybe they're just in a slump, in a stink of it. That has to do more with guys just – you don't see that drive, that passion, whatever, and then have that or that inconsistency of playing hard or doing what's necessary, doing what's required, going deep into your bench, pulling out Robert Coward, who hadn't been there all year, just because you're trying to get something. That's a red flag, you know? I mean, that's a big red flag to say, guys, something's not right with the juju here. And that's not, you know, Juju Murray, just like the general mood around the program. Like, something's off about this group that they wouldn't, on their home floor, with March Madness 2 weeks away, would put forth that effort against their instinct. I mean, they got bullied. And, yeah, they don't have a big that can hang with Keyshawn Murphy, but good grief. Just basic rebounding. They put in John Bowl and because he was 7'2", he hadn't played. He's blowing him over with some wind right now. But at least he went in there and tried to get a rebound, like just effort plays. And that's the culture he's talking about. Own it. What's going on with this group right now? Where is that drive, that same tenacity that they've been played with? Yeah, earlier on in the season, and how are you going to pull it out of them then to make that NCAA tournament run? Because they're going to make the tournament regardless of what happens the rest of the way. Their resume is that strong.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, I mean, that's where you've got to just kind of put what happened against State behind you very quickly, because this is still that type of a league that's going to get you. And you can't let a loss like earlier this season turn into 1, 2, 3, yeah. You know, you can't let that happen. And I think that's where, you know, Chris Beard has this experience of finding ways to navigate it. And again, it was dicey earlier this season when they went on that skid, but they still righted the ship. They still have a incredible win over Alabama on their resume. And for those who just think about college basketball and how difficult it is to win week in, week out, and the difference between the upper echelon versus the, you know, still rather good teams. Look what Auburn did to Alabama on Alabama's home court on Saturday. I mean, that was impressive, man. And they were jacked up. They were ready to go, you know, but they still lost double. I think it ended up being double digits. And that's where in college basketball you have to kind of remember that there are blowouts and or double digit losses that happen all the time between right. two really good teams that are both squarely in the NCAA tournament, and you get one who gets hot and gets rolling and you end up on the wrong side of it. And that's the hard thing for coaches to navigate in today's day and age with how much they have to pay attention to all of the things that players are dealing with on a day-to-day basis. You know, NIL people, class, girlfriends, all the things.
Glad you threw girlfriends in there.
But that's always been a thing.
It's always been a thing. But yeah, that like they're a couple of or a historic late game run, 15-2 run when they're down 11 with 4 minutes left, and the LSU win, grinding that LSU game out, figuring out a way to come back in that LSU game. There are a couple of bad bounces away from losing the last three games against two bad teams and your in-state rival who's a bad matchup for you, yes. But the non-competitive angle of it is why Chris Beard sent them to the podium. Like, own this. Yeah. What is going on? This is – the culture is we're going to speak to it. Y'all going to speak to it. Like, I can't get it out of you. Tell me – you know, y'all, the media, asking what's going on. Does this look like the same team to you right now? No, it doesn't, because it's not. And, you know, Jamin Brakefield has done a great job of leading. He's whenever things have gone tough. Trey Davis has done a great job in games of leading. When things go tough, the most efficient offensive play they got is give it to Dre and let him drive. All right? All good things. Got to get more from Sean Padula, from a leadership aspect, from a driving the bus aspect of this whole thing. If Ole Miss is to make a run, because they have the capability to match the greatest accomplishment in school history, which is Sweet 16 appearance back in 2001. They've done that one time. They've been in the Sweet 16 once. That's it. That's as good as it's gotten. And this team has every bit the capability to do that. They're one of the best defensive teams analytically in basketball. They have scoring inside and out when they're shooting well. Jamin Brakefield has really turned into a capable enough stretch four, point four, maybe even a little point five, but doesn't have that kind of physical juice. But one thing with 10 seniors, a lot of them grad transfer that you thought they'd be able to get away with is they're not going to have those downturns, and that's what they've had lately.
And as we maybe turn the page on this a little bit to the recruiting corner in just a short minute, you know, we've got to talk to you guys about our friends at My Perfect Franchise. Andy Ludeke, his team, they are franchise consultants. They can help you get through this process of owning a franchise, whether you want to diversify your portfolio or you want to leave the corporate, you know, rat race for the American dream. My Perfect Franchise is the spot for you to get that guidance and opportunity that Andy Ludeke can provide. His services are completely free. You can email him at andy@myperfectfranchise.net or give him a call, 404-973-9901. Talked with him last week. There's a lot of burst into that health and wellness space that is going on across the country. So look into that as a franchise. If you're looking to shake things up, change your life, Andy Ludeke is a franchise owner. He's a franchise consultant, has helped many, many people throughout this process get to a place where they're on a great path to building wealth and changing their life forever. And that's through franchise ownership. So appreciate their support of Talk Champions and Ole Miss Spirit. Again, just sign up for $1 for your first week and then get Ole Miss Spirit for $1 every week your entire first year. So $52 is what you get the annual subscription at right now at Ole Miss Spirit. So head to omspirit.com today and join us on the message board. There's a lot that's going to be coming through on the board from the Under Armour Dallas camp that just wrapped up on Sunday. I'm going to the Under Armour Orlando camp on Sunday as well. So gonna drop Jack off with my folks and in-laws and all of our family that lives in the Tampa area and jet on over to Orlando to catch some more targets in action. But, you know, Ben, this camp is really interesting because it had so much high-end talent. It has a five-star in Felix Ojo, who is got Ole Miss among his top schools. And I talked with him. The full story is going to go up as soon as this basically podcast ends. But talking with him after the camp, which he did win the MVP at, he was just dominant. I thought his base, his ability to really hold off opposing rushers was particularly impressive. And Felix has been a guy that has been on the radar for me for almost 2 years now. He's kind of picked up some offers. And then he exploded after, you know, really truthfully, this fall is when he really blew up, I felt like. And his junior tape got out and he's just blown up. And, you know, he earned the MVP honor from On3. Cody Belair, our national scout, was there. Chad Simmons, our national recruiting analyst, was there with me. And there's a good contingent of the On3 crew there. But he just rolled in the one-on-ones and he went up against some pretty talented edge rushers. It was a group that included KJ Ford, a four-star top 100 kid. It included Zane Rowe, who's really an impressive rising sophomore, going to be a junior this fall, who plays all over the place and is one of the top prospects in 2027. Landon Barnes, another high-end edge rusher, and he was just able to dominate him, and it wasn't close. And that's what you look for. That's what you want out of a five-star. But the full story is going to be up at Ole Miss Spirit. We're going to have his reaction to his performance as well as what he wants to see from his Ole Miss visit when he gets over to Oxford. That's a visit he's been wanting to make for a while. So, Ben, you know, the John Garrison train, he's got a lot of work to do on Felix Ojo, but like we talked about kind of last week a little bit, this is a position that Ole Miss has to upgrade, even an improvement on what they did in 25, because you don't want to be going through the portal every year for these offensive tackles in particular.
They don't have a good track record, especially lately, of developing offensive linemen out of high school and developing them into starters who then go on to the NFL draft and on Sunday Night Football say, oh, you know, John Smith, Ole Miss Rebels. I mean, you're just not seeing that. Cam East getting out of the portal and coming back, I think, is big, and I think is a good test to see if they are improved as far as bringing somebody along and trusting them to make mistakes and to giving them the same kind of leash that you give guys like Diego Pounds and the other transfers that you have more trust in. It's hard to follow recruiting these days the same way as we did. You know, like old days, Felix having Ole Miss in his top eight and you going and talking to him, that would lead everything. That would carry coverage for months, yeah. You know. I mean, this is a guy who is equal or at least in close company as far as a recruit as Greg Little, as Laramie Tunsil. But with the backdrop of the transfer portal and Ole Miss's over-reliance on the transfer portal, you don't even look at the star ranking. You just go, how will he be different than Preston Cushman, Kavion Broussard?
Yeah.
You know, if Ole Miss were to get him. So that's an answer that they have to come up with in recruiting sooner rather than later, lest they really develop a reputation of not being able to bring along offensive linemen and develop. Like, how can you pitch that? How can you sell that? Because, like, money talks, yes, but there's still a lot of traditional recruiting factors out there, especially from high school. And while I think Ole Miss has gotten used to not getting the same kind of impact that they used to get from the high school classes because of the transfer culture Ole Miss is in, which is fine and probably the best way to go about it, but also a huge red flag.
Yeah, you've got to tweak it just a little bit. Yeah. You've got to kind of just reposition your not your culture, because what they have going on is doing well. I mean, 10 win seasons. I mean, they're building, but you just need to see a little bit. Like, I was talking to a prospect, and this was not about Ole Miss, but he's highly recruited. We know each other for a while now, and he was talking about a particular school, and he was saying, "Look, I mean, they rely on right now transfers to come in." Mm-hmm. And again, this was not about Ole Miss, but kids notice when other coaches probably point out, hey, man, I've got, you know, guys who were all conference here, all conference there, you know, recruit them out of a high school, it worked out, versus, hey, so-and-so came in here and look what we did with him in a year or two span. And there is still that level of Ole Miss that has to get better. Like, double-digit Rebels in the NFL Combine.
Where are the linemen?
Yep. Where's the offensive line? And Diego Pounds, and I was like, double digit, am I sure? But it's true.
And Diego Pounds, he's awesome. Like, I think he got better and better. He struggled. He was up and down, but he got better towards the end of the year. He's going to be their starter at left tackle. That's now not the blindside protector for Ole Miss. That will be a right tackle, Jaden Williams, because Austin Simmons is left-handed. But Diego Pounds was the blindside protector for Drake May and was coming over here to be a plug-and-play starter for a national championship team and then go to the NFL draft. The fact that he's still here is because he didn't have the year that Ole Miss hoped he would have, and because Ole Miss didn't have the year it needed to have. So I think Diego is going to be a great leader for them. I think he's going to have a great money year for Ole Miss this year. I think you're going to see a whole new player. But his development didn't come at Ole Miss. If anything, his Ole Miss experience so far has been, well, he wasn't quite what we thought he was going to be. Can he do it next year? You know what I mean? And those conversations aren't unique to podcasts. It's not like they're exclusive to two idiots sitting here just talking, you know, on a Monday morning on a live show. Like, coaches are having these conversations with the kids. Yeah. And with money being completely, I mean, the ask are bizarre. No, they're not bizarre. They're normal in a environment where there are no rules. Yep. Of course you should ask for the world. Of course you should. Yeah, give me a yacht.
Yeah.
You know, what's the worst they could say? No, and you just still remain yachtless. But yeah, there could be somebody that that's what I'm saying. You know, Felix Ojo, he's looking out to make the most money he can right now, because you got to maximize your two signing windows. Yep. This one and your portal window, if you decide, because most kids are going to get in the portal. Yep. And, it, you know, he's probably looking at Ole Miss right now and thinking, yeah, but they're the transfer school. If it doesn't work out, so-and-so. If they pay me now, I'll go now. But if they don't, I'll just go to them if things don't go right. It's at the school. You know, I'll transfer. I'll get in the portal. These are all the considerations now.
Yeah.
Which is more than fair if you look at the track record of Ole Miss with high school offensive linemen specifically. Like, you, there's no argument against, and because Ole Miss is always going to compete competitively with money. Always going to compete competitively. So once you get past all that, it's not like Ole Miss is having, oh gosh, how can Ole Miss hang with big bad Alabama? They'll be fine. You know, everybody's got the same kind of number. They're working on the same kind of salary cap. I mean, this is pure financial bookkeeping at this point, and Ole Miss is made up. Like, if you ask the State fan on Saturday, I came to the game, watched them, you know, dominate Ole Miss in basketball game. Ole Miss is what? A bunch of doctors and lawyers. Okay. What do doctors and lawyers have? Money, right? So money never going to be the problem. And when you get to that point with Felix Ojo where you're in that top eight and you're trying to get him to sign because you want to be responsible for every step of his progress, there's a huge red mark for that position specifically.
Yes.
About what they've done. And it's being talked about on the trail. The kids are talking about it. The coaches are talking about it. The money is there. The doctors and lawyers, they've cut the checks. You know, Ole Miss is going to always have a seat at the table.
Yeah.
So it reverts back to a more traditional thing of, all right, who can develop me and, you know, get me to the NFL the fastest? Cam East is still trying to get on the field at Ole Miss. He went into the portal and got out of it because he's like, well, maybe this time.
Yeah.
You know? And I wonder if it's like a little bit of just a Lane Kiffin thing. Maybe. Because the man doesn't have a long leash. He doesn't have a long – like, if you aren't producing for him when you get your run, and he has far less patience for high schoolers than he does transfers. And if you're in there and you do – like, God forbid if you do something stupid. But if you don't, like, pop off, if you don't do what he thinks you're supposed to do, if you're not the player he thought you were in that short amount of span from a high school standpoint, man, that leash is really short. Really short.
And a couple other notes on the recruiting corner that I want to touch on before we get out of here, Ben, is quarterbacks. And you talked about, and this is what piqued my interest, you talked about development, Austin Simmons, that direction that he's going to take over these next few years, however long it is that he is in Ole Miss. Quarterbacks are going to be watching it. One quarterback I talked with is one of the best in the entire country, and Malachi Ziegler. He's out of the state of Louisiana, and it's a loaded class in Louisiana in 2027. But in my opinion, Malachi right now is the safest bet while also recognizing the upside that he brings to the field. And he is going to visit Ole Miss this spring. He's going to check in with Lane Kiffin and this program in April, catch spring practice, get to see how they coach, get to see how they operate. So I did want to pass that along. He's going to go on a slew of visits. Mississippi State, Baylor, SMU, a bunch of others are in there. And he's picking up some more interest from the likes of Notre Dame, Oklahoma. So some big schools making some moves there with Malachi Ziegler, who was one of the top performers. He was actually the top quarterback on the top performers four on three from the Under Armour Dallas camp. So that is one other note to know. And then we'll have full coverage, kind of some other takeaways and things like that from that camp for our subscribers at Ole Miss Spirit. So sign up today for just $1 for your first week and then get the rest of the year for $52. So pretty good deal there. $1 for every week of the year. Mac Sutter did cut his list to 5 schools this past weekend, I believe it was. Maybe it was on Friday, but did want to bring him up because the coaching staff went and saw him up in Illinois. 6'6", 225. You can't draw him up much better than this. Top 10 tight end in the country on the On3 industry ranking. And he's really high on Ole Miss and how they use the tight end. He mentioned Caden Prescorn. Obviously, Ole Miss has Daquan Wright as well. And he visited in the past and really felt like family. Doesn't feel like a business, but they still get stuff done. So you can maybe read between the lines there, I guess. But he's also got Alabama, Illinois, Ohio State, and Penn State in the mix. So, two playoff teams there, and then Illinois is on the rise, and it's kind of a Midwest flavor a little bit. So this one will be interesting to see how this one plays out, because Ole Miss has really done some serious work to be in this position with that group of schools. I mean, we'll see how it goes, but that's the recruiting corner for you today, Ben.
I love it. I'm ready to see the Harrison Bryant tight end for Ole Miss, because like Lane, when he came here, was the tight ends were his thing.
Yeah.
And Kenny Yeboah had an incredible first year with Ole Miss in the COVID season. He was far and away the number two option to Elijah Moore. And you thought that was just the beginning of what things could be. And you haven't seen that kind of tight end production. I mean, look, Harrison Bryant won the Mackey Award at FIU, you know, or FAU, excuse me, FAU with Kiffin as his head coach. And not to say that you're going to get that kind of volume at Ole Miss because there's more mouths to feed, but I am curious to see a Luke Haas playing a more big wide receiver with Daquan Wright. Maybe this will be more of that. And that looks more in line with what Ole Miss is looking for at tight end. If you're going to get that production this year, they haven't had that pure downfield threat, right? That can stretch. And I mean, Kenny Yeboah still in the league. He was like that. But you know, I'm ready to see the tight end guru really pull off the tight end, you know, magic that he had been doing at Ole Miss with any number of players. And I think Luke Haas is probably the closest he's gotten to just cherry picking handpicks. Like, what do you want, Lane, as a tight end? And you go, that fits kind of what the profile is for him. I got a question for the recruiting corner, however. Malachi Ziegler, Duckworth, who is Ole Miss closest to as far as landing a quarterback? They did not sign a quarterback last year, last recruiting class. They got the Louisville transfer. It's Austin Simmons, the Louisville kid, and A.J. Maddox. But this is a big year because this is their hand pick. This is the next guy, right? I mean, this is when they picked Austin Simmons and got him to reclassify two years up. It's now time to find that next guy. Who are they closest to?
You know, it's interesting that you teed up that question that way. And Ben, I'm interested to see if Malachi Ziegler reclassifies to 2026. He's talked to me about that. So it's a very, very timely question of you. Very good job there. And we'll see if he ends up reclassifying. Having played quarterback, I don't recommend doing that. You know, you almost want to be as kind of old as you can be, unless you're
Austin Simmons.
Yeah. Unless you're a super high upside guy who's also could star for Ole Miss baseball if he would have kept playing or whatever. But, you know, Austin Simmons is going to be a really good, kind of test tube for Lane Kiffin. And when guys come through this spring and see him play, I think that's going to be a really good selling point, because he's going in as a first-year starter and, you know, he's played a little bit and you see the flashes and all those things. And if these guys get around that in the spring and see that development and see his command and all those things, I think that'll really help a guy like Landon Duckworth, though. He's a high upside player. He's well-regarded. He's blowing up on the recruiting trail. You got Georgia, got Ole Miss, got South Carolina trying to get him back, all of those things that are going on with him. But I think right now they're closest with Landon Duckworth, who is one of the best quarterbacks in the country. If you're watching on our YouTube channel, which encourage you guys to subscribe and follow there, I'm just putting his profile page up. But Landon Duckworth out of Jackson, Alabama, is probably the one they're closest to right now. He's a top 10 quarterback in the country, on the verge of being a top 100 prospect. He's had a big rise already in some of the rankings. We've not updated our rankings just yet at On3 for the class of 2026 in quite some time. So that's coming down the pipeline here pretty soon for our rankings team. But yeah, Landon Duckworth is definitely the guy, in my opinion, that they are closest to, but they're also shooting for some of the big dogs like Jared Curtis and Ryder Lyons, who's more of a 27, but I would say Landon Duckworth, that he's really been a guy that Lane Kiffin's done a great job with.
Why not both? Ryder Lyons is going on his Mormon mission.
Yep.
So Duckworth, Ziegler.
Yeah.
It'd be really interesting to
see. They need to take two in 26.
Oh, yeah. They're going to take two. So, but the idea of Ziegler is really interesting because Austin Simmons is the greatest bet that Lane Kiffin has made at Ole Miss yet, or the greatest gamble, you know. Only because It's the most it's the premium position. Quarterback is the position in football. It starts there, it ends there. If you got a trigger man, man, you're going to win 7-8 games like by default if you got the trigger man. But Austin hasn't played, and this whole team around him is, you know, significantly overhauled and new because of how the roster was constructed. But like you were talking about, Bill, I mean, he reclassified up two classes, got in early, 17 years old. Of course he's sitting. He knows he's sitting. He's signing up to sit to get his college. They just brought him in very slowly. They sped up a process that we used to treat quarterbacks with every single year. In the NFL, they used to bring him in, sit him for a year, and then maybe they would start the second year. Aaron Rodgers sat for years and years after Brett Favre. But as the years go by and the more impatient we become as a society, we don't have time for development, and coaches certainly don't have time. They're getting hired and fired within the same time frame as we used to develop quarterbacks in. This is a new way of doing it. If Lane is successful with Austin, if he can get a Ziegler to follow the same kind of track, because I was looking at his measurables, I'm like, oh my God, is Austin Simmons good? You know, like, yeah. To God be the glory. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that. But you get what I'm saying? I was like, there you go. There's the makeup. He's showing another way. Just like when Lane in COVID, before we knew what transfers and portals were, he went to Canada and got Tavius and Dean Leonard. Just like that. I mean, this is coming up with new ways to follow more traditional developmental tracks, fitting a 2025 timeline. Get a kid in early at 17. He's probably a little bit more like scared of the world. Like, all right, I just want to chill and just get dip my toes in. Buys you another year, you know, because he don't want that change. A lot of these kids are, you know, when they're 19, getting in, you know, 18, 19, you know, they've been hearing it for a minute. These kids that transfer up a class or reclassify up a class, then wait, getting them for 2 years. You get them on the developmental track. If Austin Simmons works, just like Ole Miss has to defend itself against offensive line recruiting and development, they could show themselves to be forward thing. They've got a reputation now as one of the transfer destinations. Why? Because they've always been a top three transfer school ever since this happened. If you can be the school that shows another developmental track for quarterbacks, I mean, Lane Kiffin's playing chess, man. That's all I'm saying. While this playing, he's trying to come up with new ways to keep up in a no guardrails environment and being innovative at a place where if you're not innovative, you're just sitting on your laurels saying, hey, transfer to the SIP, and if you don't, we're only going to win 6 games, go to the Liberty Bowl. You know, I think it just speaks to what a job he has done and how tight a rope he's having to walk in a completely unfettered environment. I just thought that was interesting because it's like, man, if you become the school that, listen, guys, trust us with your early development. We're going to get you in early. Part of it is you get in early. We're going to bring you in for the spring. Yeah, you're going to miss senior prom, you know. But trust me, every night's a senior prom when you're going to a sorority formal. You're going to be fine, you know. You're going to be fine.
Yeah, bring you'll, you live. Here. You'll live. Yeah, hey, with NIL money, you can fly back for whatever prom you need to. And you should do that with our friends at Status Jet as we wrap up here. Head to statusjet.com. Use those NIL dollars, fellas, to enjoy the good life on Status Jet. Mention the Ole Miss Spirit and get a discount on a round-trip flight. You can plan your away SEC baseball trips. You can plan spring break. You can plan the 4th of July. You can go international. You can do whatever. Family work trips. They'll get you covered. You can bring your pets. Do that with Status Jet. They'll take care of you. All of our supporters at the Ole Miss Spirit support Status Jet if you can. And Ben, this has been a great live Talk of Champions, my man.
I like doing them live because
it's I like kicking off the morning with it. It kind of greases the creative juices, so to speak. And you know, like you, Jack is asleep, so we're counting down the minutes until he gets up from his nap, and we got to do some child rearing there as President's Day rolls on.
It's the only thing we're here to do, to show our children the love of their heavenly father through the love of their earthly father. Like my baby, look, my baby's back here. Look, I can't even point. Look at him. Look at him. That's Buggy. That's Gracie. You know, Gracie's going to see the New Albany Bulldogs soccer team play in the playoffs in Jackson, Mississippi today, right? Fire me up. Let's go, dogs, not the state dogs. Who?
No. Hope someone doesn't clip it. We're out.
Clip it.
Oh, man. Well, this has been a live Talk of Champions. Appreciate Riverland Roofing, little house above Ben's head there, for supporting Talk of Champions, the Ole Miss Spirit as well. So we'll see you guys on the message boards at omspirit.com. Again, just $1 every week for your entire first year. Pretty sweet deal.
That's the best deal you're going to get, man.
Yeah, that's easy. That's easy. Deal. You know, we used to compare it to, get it for a happy hour beer a week, or get it for a Starbucks or whatever. Mm-hmm. No, just $1. I don't even know what's $1 anymore. Certainly not eggs. But, hey, that's why you got the egg bowl. So, anyway.
All right.
Before more dad jokes roll in, let's shut this one down, buddy. Ben Garrett. Been fun. I'm Billy Embody. Catch you next time on another edition of Talk of Champions.
Taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free? TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.